I set that well of energy to spinning and directed its power as it spiraled up, a tornado of magic that reached out to embrace simple gravity. With the enormous energy of the ley line, I focused the pull of the earth for miles around into a circle a couple of hundred yards across and spoke a single word as I unleashed the torrent of energy, bound only, firmly if imperfectly, by my will. The spell, start to finish, had taken me a good 60 seconds to put together, and tapping into the ley line had been the last part of the process. Far too long and far too destructive to use in any of the faster and more furious fights that I found myself in over the years. Perfect for tonight. For a quarter of a second, gravity vanished from Chichen Itza and the land for miles all around it, jerking everything that wasn't fastened down, myself included, several inches into the air. For that time, all of that force was focused and concentrated into a circle perhaps 200 yards across that embraced the entire gallery and every vampire inside it. There, the enormous power of that much focused gravity, nearly 300 times normal, slammed everyone and everything straight down, as if crushed by a single gigantic invisible anvil. The stone columns handled it better than I thought they would. Maybe half of them suddenly cracked, shattered, and fell into rubble, but the rest bore up under the strain as they had for centuries. The assault force of the Red Court wasn't nearly so resilient. I could hear the bones breaking from where I stood, each snapping with hideously sharp pops and cracks. Down crashed the wave of vampires in a mass of shattered bones. Many of them were crushed beneath the falling stones of the weaker columns. Each flabby black body smashed beneath a weight of scores of tons of stone, even if hit by only one piece from a single block. The energy involved had been enormous, and as I was bounced up about a foot into the air, I was hit with a wave of exhaustion that came along with it. It wasn't as bad as it might have been. Technically, I was only channeling and rearranging forces that were already in existence and motion, not creating them from my will, or I could never have managed to affect an area so big, and to do it so violently. But believe you me, it was still hard. I was thrown several inches up, along with everything and everyone else that wasn't secured. I landed with only one foot beneath me, so I dropped to one knee, catching myself on my hands. Panting, I looked up to see the results of the spell. A couple of acres of flat, dead, and a few horribly wounded and dying vampires lay strewn about like so many crushed ants, and standing over them, each in a combat pose, as if ready to keep on swinging, were the friends I had sent running ahead, entirely unaffected. "Good," I said, panting. "That's enough, kid." I heard Molly, several feet behind me, let out a sigh of relief herself, and the lights and shining auras vanished from the three figures wielding a sword. "Well done, little one," the Lenanshi said, and as she spoke, the five figures themselves vanished. "A most credible illusion. It is always the little touches of truth that make for the most potent deceptions." "Well, you know," Molly said, sounding a little flustered, "I just watched my dad a few times." Mouse stayed close at my side. His head was turned to the right, focused upon the trees and the darkness that way. A growl, I felt, more than heard, came from deep in his chest. Susan stepped up to my side and looked at the crushed vampires with undisguised satisfaction, but frowned. "Esclavos de sangre," she said. "Yes," said Martin from somewhere behind me. "What?" I asked. "Blood slaves," Susan said to me. "Vampires who have gone entirely feral. They can't create a flesh mask. They're almost animals, scum." "Cannon fodder," I said, forcing my lungs to start taking slower, deeper breaths. "A crowd of scum at a top-end Red Court function." "Yes." It wasn't hard to figure out why they'd been there. Mouse's interest in whatever it was he sensed in the trees was deepening. The Red Court was expecting company. "Yes," Susan said, her voice tight. "Well, nothing's ever simple, is it?" That changed everything. A surprise raid upon an unsuspecting, unprepared target was one thing. Trying to simply kick in the teeth of a fully armed and ready Red Court, obviously expecting someone with my firepower, was something else entirely, namely sheer stupidity. So, I had to change the game, and change it fast. A gong began to clash slowly, a monstrous thing, the metallic roar of its voice something low and harsh that reminded me inexplicably of the roar Martin had produced earlier. The tension got thicker, and except for the sounds of the drum and the gong, there were no other noises, not of the creatures of the jungle or any other kind. The quiet was far more terrifying than the noise had been. "They're out there," I said quietly. "They're moving right now." "Yes," said Leah, who had suddenly appeared at my left side opposite Mouse. Her voice was very calm, and her feline eyes roamed the night, bright and interested. "That mob of trash was merely a distraction, our own tactic used against us." Her eyes narrowed. "They are employing veils to hide themselves, and they are quite skilled." "Molly," I said. "On it, boss," she replied. "Our distraction was an illusion. It didn't cost us any lives," Murphy pointed out. "Neither did theirs from their perspective, Sergeant," Martin said. "Creatures who cannot control themselves are of no use to the Red King, after all. Their death simply reduced the number of useless, parasitic mouths he had to feed. He may think of humans as a commodity, but he'd rather not throw that wealth away." "Harry," Murphy asked, "can you do that anvil thing again?" "Hell, I'm sort of surprised I got away with it the first time. Never done anything with that much voltage." I closed my eyes for a second and began to reach down for the ley line again, and my brain contorted. Thoughts turned into a harsh explosion of images and memories that left long lacerations on the inside of my skull, and even after I had moved my mind away from those images, it took several seconds before I could open my eyes again. "No," I croaked. "No, that isn't an option. Even if they gave me enough time to pull it off,